everyone, and welcome to Those Working Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
Didn't you know I was about to say I'm Christine there? I don't know why.
I wrote I'm Natasha.
I wasn't reading it. I do it all by memory. Are you proud of me?
Good job.
Anyways, today we are chatting Marvel movies.
Ooh.
The last time we did this was with Taya, and we talked about hot takes on Marvel.
Hot takes, we
but
did.
This time, so if you want to listen to the episode, it's like right before Christmas. We're chatting our top best and top worst Marvel movies, and also we're going to go through what's on the horizon. Yes.
So keep a weather eye on the horizon for Marvel movies.
I feel like I'm not in the loop anymore because it's just not as exciting. Like I,
because they haven't been good. That's why.
Yeah.
They've only been occasionally good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because I used to be every single one was like amazing.
I know. And now it's just like, is it going to be good? I don't know.
Yes. I'll wait for the Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. So I kind of want to get this information out there because we've got Comic-Con. We're at Comic-Con right now.
Ooh.
San Diego Comic-Con. Now, I don't think Marvel's actually going to be there, but then in 2 weeks, we've got D23, which I will be at D23.
Oh,
and that's where I think they're going to announce a lot of Marvel stuff because we haven't had D23 in like 2 years.
That's why they're not coming to fucking Comic-Con. What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they do have a Wolverine Deadpool thing, but...
They do. It's going to be a screening for free, I bet, with a Q&A after.
Yeah.
Let's move to Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News. Oh, if you are at Comic-Con and you happen to be listening to this, I have a bookish panel on Sunday if you want to come at, I think it's 2:30. And
on Sunday.
On Sunday. I don't have any other details. I'll put them in the show notes. All right. So today in Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News, a lot of Taylor Swift news has been coming up. Okay, remember last week when we talked about I Can Do It With a Broken Heart having an instrumental version? Yeah. In the instrumental version, you can hear like all the little intricate background noises. The producing is more clear. And there's a radio clip that's like, Travis Kelce wins this. And it's in the background of I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
I did hear that. That's
You did?
Yeah.
I listened to it on... So I was like, wow, was she telling us something? Is there other stuff hidden?
Why is there an instrumental version? It's not that good, okay? That's my hot take.
What do you mean it's not that good? It's just the instrumental version.
Yeah, but why is it necessary?
There's something coming. It's a hint. All right. So in other news, we're currently at Comic-Con. We are going to Romance Con in September, September 5th and 6th.
No,
we will
6th and 7th.
September 6th and 7th, we will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at Romance Con. We have a Those Working Fangirls panel where we'll be doing a live episode. We are going to be at like the ball and I think it's a masquerade ball, which is exciting. We're going to have a meetup. We are very excited. I'm going to be an author there. I'm going to be on like three different panels for author stuff. I'm pumped. It's going to be a con weekend and we haven't had like... Well, we're going to Comic-Con, but like this is going to be like a girly pop con.
I know. I'm so excited.
Those Working Fangirls con. I'm pumped.
Do we still have our discount code for tickets?
I don't think it works anymore, which is upsetting. We used to have a discount code for tickets.
That's
but
annoying.
The person who, I forget who it was, somebody told me that it wasn't working anymore. And I was sad. So that's happening. Natasha, what's going on with the Blood Moon Ball?
Blood Moon Ball is coming on October 26th.
What is it?
It is a gothic fantasy ball set at a gothic church here in downtown
LA.
Right before Halloween. So we are going to have... This is really cool. We're going to have four different covens. And within those four different covens, we're going to have either like a king or a queen or both, depending on how many special guests we can get. And you get to choose which coven you want to be a part of. Okay. So we haven't figured out all the details yet, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be exciting and special. So when you purchase your ticket, you're going to be able to pick the coven that you want to be a part of. And if you've already purchased one, we're going to have options for you to like choose which coven you're in. So there's going to be day coven, dawn coven, twilight coven, and night coven, okay? And within the covens, there's all the special creatures. So vampires, werewolves, witches, fairies, whatever you want to be, you can be in a part of that coven. So, and so we're just keep your eye peeled on Lovesteria Instagram for all those special guests and king and queen announcements for the coven.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. Yeah. I'm very excited about this ball. It's in like the coolest church. Mm-hmm. I think I said this last week, but I plan on going as like a shadow hunter, warlock, Tessa basically.
Tessa basically.
Yes. Tessa Gray.
I know you took out the part where I told people what I was going to be. Which is fine.
Oh, yeah, I know, because we went really off topic and it was long. I can keep this for another reveal.
Yes. So I don't think the pre-sale tickets are still up, but definitely check the website if they are. Because right now they're just regular price until the ball happens. But we're very excited. Okay.
Lauren says for Romance Con is the only meetup held at the con. We only had one person reach out to us to say that they're going to be outside in Milwaukee. And aren't coming to the con. If we get more people, so if you're in Milwaukee and you want to meet, if you would be available for a meetup and you can't come to the con, let us know, because that'll kind of dictate whether we're going to do an outside meetup outside of the con. Because yeah, only one person reached out, so I'm not sure if we're going to do it or not, because I know it's going to be like a really busy weekend running around at the con. So I'm sorry, Lauren. As of now, we don't have that planned yet. Was that person you? Okay. Yeah, I guess most people have a ticket to the con that are coming. So, but never know. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah, we just bought our plane ticket, so we're coming in the night before late
9:45, yeah.
And then we're there all day Friday and Saturday, and then they leave then super leave early. Sunday so morning, I don't think we even have time to do something outside.
Yeah, we might really have to. We might just be in the con 24/7 until we leave. Okay. Oh, this is so today in Taylor Swift news. I have a bunch of stuff. Yes. Okay. I don't know if you noticed. We have to talk about this first. Yesterday, or was it two days ago? Thursday night. Mm-hmm. It was the night that music drops. All of a sudden, Reputation Instagrams from 2017 are at the top of everyone's Instagram feed, even people who don't follow Taylor Swift. Okay. So at first,
people who don't follow? I didn't know that.
Yes. People were messaging me, like, I don't even follow her. And she's at, this is Carmen, and Jeff, my neighbor's husband, was like, I don't follow Taylor Swift, and it's at the top of my feed. So something weird was going on. Okay. And at first, we're like, it's just the notes, because they just added this new feature on Instagram, and people, when they add a note, it can bring a post back up to out of obscurity. But the fact that it was popping up on people's feeds that weren't following Taylor Swift, if there's one person that this wouldn't accidentally happen to, it's fucking Taylor Swift with Reputation. And, all right. There's been a lot of Reputation random shit that she's been dropping. So, you know how she has that 1989 outfit that's two different colors now that she mismatches all the time? She started matching it like a week ago or something. Mm-hmm. And what we didn't notice until she started matching it was that the little weird cat faces that are at the top of the outfit are the masks of the people robbing the Spotify bank in the Look What You Made Me Do video. And they lined the colors when she's matching, line up with all four colors. And the new outfit that she wears to Fearless matches the fucking outfit she's wearing. The sweater with the tiger on it. And all of them are wearing fucking cat masks that are exactly the emblem pendants that are on all of her fucking random ass tops.
I've never seen the cat thing. The cat.
Oh my god, I did. I was like, what is that? All right. So that was wild. Okay. I saw the pictures because I did not put that cat mask thing together. I was just like looking at that outfit and I was like, why does it have that? And then I saw a TikTok where it was like, wait a minute. And it was just like a montage of like pictures of her outfits and then pictures of the outfits that the girls are wearing in the safe with her in the masks. Oh, fuck. So it's coming. It's just a matter of when. Like, these are the first, like, legitimate, real clues I think we've gotten. Mm-hmm. Because before, we were just clowning up the ass 24/7. And at first, I was like, are we clowning with this Taylor Swift Instagram thing? But there's so much flurrying around with Deadpool and stuff that it's interesting that it's coming around this time.
Well, and the funny thing is like, when this episode airs, are we going to have like the official?
Oh, fuck. This episode airs, it's another week has gone by. So she could have randomly dropped it. Well, Deadpool's out. We don't know if she's in Deadpool, but she, you know, future people.
I know. Well, because like, I think our initial theory is that she at least has a Reputation song in Deadpool, right?
That was the theory, yeah. But, I mean, my friend Cynthia was like, "With the soundtrack list is up." And I was like, she could just not. It could be top secret. We'll see. But, like, it would be funny to have, like, I did something bad, but why does it feel so good as he's, like, walking around with Wolverine? Like, that is perfect music for them.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see who Lady Deadpool is. And I know a futurist will know. But a lot of people are thinking that it's just going to be like Ryan Reynolds clowning us. And it's actually just him.
Him?
Yes.
I could see him doing that. Jesus Christ. Guess we'll see.
I know. We have tickets to see it Thursday night.
Thursday night we're seeing it. So we will know when this comes out. All right. Last thing I want to say about Taylor Swift news this week. She was just in Germany and she did the most adorable fucking three nights of matchups for Travis. And so she did this mashup of Paper Rings and Stay, Stay, Stay. Mm. And it was so cute. And she was like, and you walk in wearing a football helmet and said, okay, let's talk. Like, in between. Like, I feel shiny things, but I'd marry you with paper rings. Like, she's repurposing the song to be about him, which I love because she's kind of reclaiming it. So it doesn't feel as much about Joe. And then she did Invisible String and she mashed it up with Superstar. And she did Labyrinth. And in it, she said, she didn't say, I'm falling in love. It's like, she says, I've fallen in love again.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
It's really sweet. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. And there's like shots of him just like wiping tears. And I just like, I just love how much he loves this. I know.
They're so loud about their love. It's beautiful.
I love it. All right. What right now? Do you have anything else? Oh, my book's out. It's called Attached at the Hip. It's available everywhere. Books are available. And if you liked it, it's a survivor rom-com. And if you liked it, reviewing it on one of the platforms online where you get books, the one that starts with an A, super helpful to keeping new readers finding the book. Thank you all so much for your support there. All right. What are you reading this week, Natasha?
I started The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo. Yes.
Oh, wow.
The audiobook. And
I have it too.
I'm not very far into it, but I'm also like confusion.
Yep, that was me. But I think it's one of those books where you have to just let it wash over you until you start to feel like you know what's going on.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know if the audiobook is necessarily the best way to go about it, but I don't think I'll be able to get through it if I didn't have the audiobook.
Yeah. I think that you have to be in the right mood to just let it wash. You know, sometimes you're like stressed when you, because you want to understand exactly what's going on in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, most of her books, like her adult books, are like that. Like, you start to figure it out as you go along.
Yeah, I think I'm on chapter 11. Well, chapter
12. Oh, you're pretty far.
Yeah.
For confusion. Okay.
There's 55 chapters.
Okay. I think I got to like chapter two, so I didn't get very far.
Yeah, I'm in definitely like the first act. Like things are happening. I'm like, okay, I'm just interested.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I that's not like the tone of it is not my favorite tone. Like the gothic romance. Yeah.
Especially not right now during the summer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wanted like this is more like a fall book.
Yeah, I guess so. Or like a winter. Mm-hmm. I just started The Lost Story by Megan Schaefer. She wrote one of my favorite books I've read this year, The Wishing Game. And this is her second novel just came out. And I'm really excited. She basically writes like adult fairy tale, nostalgia, beautiful stories. I think this one's kind of like an ode to like, it's like adult Chronicles of Narnia or something feel to it. And yeah, I'm really excited. I started like 5 minutes of it last night and I'm like, I'm not absorbing this, so I need to stop right now. What movies did you watch this week?
I watched Hitman because you told me to last week.
Did you like it?
No, I really did. Yeah, I just had to get to like the
30-minute mark.
The 30-minute mark. And yeah, oh my God, no, he's so hot as Ron.
Dude.
It just felt like his normal self, you know?
He was doing Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
He had the voice.
Yeah. I love Glenn Powell. And I feel like, you know, I know you said this last week, but I saw someone talk about how, so like every co-star he has like amazing chemistry with. And I think people were saying like, it's because he's just such a good guy that he, like, just women feel very comfortable with him. I think all people feel very comfortable with him. And I love that he has to have like his parents on for every movie. You know, his parents make a cameo in every single film.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. His mom was in the first class plane or the first class seats, you know, like when the lady like, and what's her face on top. That's his mom. Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney,
yeah.
Wait, I didn't know that. That's so cute. Oh, you know what? I was going to add this to Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News, but Noah Kahan, you know his song, Sticks? He brought on his whole family to sing and dance with him at the concert, and there's this TikTok going around video of him just up there singing and dancing with his mom and, like, all of his family, and it is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Aww. I'll send you the tweet. I just saw it on a tweet this morning and I was like, this is adorable. And he like talks about his family in it. So like when it's their turn that he's talking about them, they're like singing with him and it's so cute. We were gonna see Twisters on Wednesday and it was sold out except for the first row. So we didn't see Twisters. I am upset.
We didn't. And it's okay because we had so much to do.
We did. But I want to see Twisters.
I want to see Twisters so bad.
Yes.
I don't think I'm going to be able to see it until after Comic-Con now.
Yeah, me too. TV. I have been watching Simone Biles Rising. And there's only 2 episodes. So I'm wondering what the plan is. They're going to like finish it after the Olympics. So they like have it all ready and they're just going to like insert what happens at the Olympics. The Olympics starts the 26th. So this just gives you such a greater appreciation for Simone Biles and how talented she is. Like, I know we all know that she's fucking amazing, but to hear the intricacies of what like was going on in her head and to see the footage of all the different moments, it really just is making me way more excited for the Summer Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for the Olympics. I can't believe it starts on Friday while we're at Comic-Con.
Oh, fuck.
You know, we're going to miss the opening ceremonies.
Yeah. Well,
Alex
will record it. We'll see it online, maybe.
Yeah.
What have you watched? Oh. I've continued Baby Reindeer, but I still have like an episode left.
Oh. I finished The Bear. Alex and I finished that last night.
Nice.
And I really like season 3. I think at first I was like, well, this feels like it's too artsy, but then it's not. And it feels so real.
It wavers back and forth between artsy and like just really raw.
I very much enjoyed it. I wonder if they're going to wait another year because they did leave us with a cliffhangers.
They left us unfinished.
Yes. I watched and finished The White Princess, within
the week of
last week's episode until now. Yeah, because I started my Meg cosplay, so I just kind of had it on. It's just, okay, my review of, I think her name is Philippa Gregory. She is a historical writer. Mm-hmm. And she likes to write stories about famous women in history. And so she's done all of these books within like the Tudor time period. And they're just sad because the whole thing is not romantic. It's just tragic. And we get to, Well, I very much enjoy The White Princess, but there's a lot of sad points in it. And it's not like a good...
It doesn't have a happily ever after.
Not really. Like, it does, but it doesn't. And then, you know, then the White Princess feeds into the Spanish Princess. And I already know then, you know. So I enjoyed it, but it's, like, not my favorite historical period drama at all.
Right.
But I liked it. And I think my only critique is that Jodie Comer wears the same costume for like 2 to 3 episodes, and like they don't give her another costume.
Maybe they were trying to be realistic of the time.
I don't understand it though. Just give her a different costume. They're beautiful, but I'm sick of looking at it.
All right, we're going to go into our main discussion. But before we do, we want to remind you that It Ends With Us is coming out August 9th. Woo-hoo! We have been working with Sony this month. We hosted a screening for the film, and we're just so excited for Colleen and happy for everyone involved because it's so good. It's out August 9th, only in theaters, and
we're super excited about the film. You guys can go grab your tickets right now for opening weekend, and we can't wait to hear what you all think of It Ends
With
Us.
All the thoughts. Gosh, I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, everyone out there who's listening right now. Thank you so much for being a part of our pod community. We really, really love having you, obviously. We love being here with y'all. And if you haven't already, we'd love it if you followed the pod for free in your favorite podcast listening app so you never miss an episode. You can also leave us a quick review in any of those listening apps. That's super helpful for us. Mm-hmm. If you like watching the podcast, we are on YouTube. You can watch us at youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls, and you can subscribe there for free so you never miss a visual episode of the show. If you don't know, this is a viewer-supported podcast. We don't have many sponsors. We could not do this without viewers like you becoming patrons and becoming part of the Patreon community. We have so much fun over there. When you become a patron, you get the show ad-free. You get to come to the recordings and be in the live chat, so your two cents gets integrated into the episode. And you get Fangirl Tea Time, which is our extra half an hour show at the end of every single show. Every single show where we talk about deeper things, stuff going on in our personal lives. It's so fun.
Maybe
we all get
some
to know each other pretty well. Get some tea spilled. there is a free trial of that level, Team Jacob, which is the $5 level, available for a week if you want to test it out. Lots of episodes for you to watch in the meantime. And then there's two other Patreon levels, Team Edward, where you get bonus episodes, and Team Polis Bananas, where we do hangouts every month with everybody and on Zoom. And we also bring on a listener on the show. If you want to, you fill out a form and we do that according to what the subject matter is. Yep, yep, yep. All right. We'll be right back after these messages. Unless you're a patron, we're rolling right on in. All right. We're going to start today with our top 5 worst Marvel movies in our opinion. I myself haven't seen every Marvel movie in the last couple of years, so I can't say that I have the whole scope, but I have a lot. I've watched a lot of Marvel movies.
I've seen every Marvel movie.
Did you put yours in order of the worst is number 1?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do our number 5s. What's your number 5?
The Eternals.
Mine too. I see we match. This is so exciting.
Oh my god, wait, did we? Except for 3.
A lot. Because I didn't see number 3. But
Yeah.
The Eternals. Unfortunately, this movie just doesn't feel very cohesive to me, and I felt like I didn't get enough about any of the characters to really care. What about you?
I agree. I kind of want to watch it again just to give it another chance to see if I do like it. I like that we get to go through history with them, but sometimes it just didn't feel, I don't know, it just, like, there wasn't something about it that made me, like, love it.
Attached to it. And there was no endearing, like, storyline.
There's so many amazing actors in it, and I just wanted something maybe similar to the camaraderie that we felt in Guardians of the Galaxy. But there was a lot of betrayal, and which is great for that, but
there was just no basis. There's no foundation for the characters to build off of to have the betrayal. And you really need that for it to be emotionally, like, prevalent when you're watching it.
And a lot of the times, like, we have these, like, super powered super beings, and after we just went through Endgame and all that, it's like, where were they, you know?
I know, it really annoys me. I couldn't help but think that too. And also, the end didn't fucking make sense. I hate when the end is so out there. Like, we didn't see this giant I forget what it was, but those, like, the thing was under the fucking ice right there.
Are they called Celestials? Years.
Yeah. Celestials, I think. I don't know. It was a little all over the place. I was, like, watching the end, like, are you kidding? All right. What's your number four?
Number four is Captain America, the First Avenger. This has always been my least favorite before we got to after Endgame.
Yeah, me too.
And I just I never was a big, I mean, well, never mind, that's, I'm gonna not say that, because I am a big Captain America fan, but I don't know, there's just something about this film that I didn't love the end. Like, the ending of the film doesn't make sense, or doesn't it's not worth anything until you see Avengers.
Yeah, I also was annoyed by the script a lot of the times.
Yes.
It felt so on the nose. And I don't know if they were trying to be on the nose, because everything from that time is kind of on the nose, but it didn't come off. Like, it didn't settle right with me.
It was, like, campy, but it wasn't camp.
It wasn't, like, self-aware enough to feel camp.
Yeah.
So this is my number three. It's one more up. Yeah, at least that it didn't have the heart I wanted. It didn't have the heart I wanted either. I just feel like I didn't get enough character moments.
Yeah, and Elise says, like, I love Agent Carter's show. I loved Agent Carter's show, and I feel like the setup for Peggy in this wasn't the impact that I wanted it to be. I just, like, I love her character, but I love her outside of Captain America.
Yeah. Okay. To be honest, in Captain America, I didn't feel any chemistry.
Yes.
With these two at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of felt really dry between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Caitlin says that's so funny because I was a kid when that came out and it felt so entertaining. So maybe they tried to make it more digestible. I feel like when you're a kid, you digest it very differently. Like, you don't necessarily feel the dialogue as much, but, like, the adventure is kind of what you're feeling more, you know? At least that's the way it was for me. And then when you're older and you watch it, the dialogue hits different just because you've been through more.
I was a kid when it came out. I think it came out in 2010. I think I was, or 2011. I was in high school still.
Yeah, I was 21.
Oh. What is your number four?
My number four. My number four is Captain Marvel. I was just so disappointed in this film because I was really excited for a female-driven film. And then, like, immediately I was annoyed because it wasn't an origin story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to learn about who she was when she was younger and how she became this person. And we got that for every man. And that's why we love them and care about them so much. Not necessarily young, but who they were before they became the suit. And, like, Iron Man is so great because we start with like knowing exactly who he was before the suit. Mm-hmm. And we're immediately thrown into a situation where we get to know him better as a person and how the suit came to be. And that really sets you up to care and understand them and be really invested. With Captain Marvel, we kind of jump all the way already in her powers. I think we like flashback a couple times, right? With the guy with the eye patch and
Jude Law.
No. The guy with the eye patch that's in every movie. What the hell's his name?
Oh, Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson, but what's it? Fury. But like, I just didn't feel any personal connection to her. Mm-hmm. At all. And yeah. It was very sad. And when I try to make this argument, in the other episode, like all the fucking bros were like, yeah, so obnoxious about how it was an origin story. And it was like, fucking no, it wasn't. Like, it's not an origin story if it doesn't start at the fucking origins.
Yeah.
Fuck faces.
Just kind of thrown into her with the Kree, I think. And then we get flashbacks to like her past. Like I just wish we had started with her in the military, or like, you know, wherever, I think in yeah. the military,
wherever she started before the powers.
Yeah. With her best friend. Yeah. And yeah. we got that first, and then we were devastated when she lost all of that. It would have made so much more of an impact.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Because Taya has a lot of bros in her audience, so I was getting so annoyed. There were so many comments. Sorry mm-hmm. for all that cursing. I just brought it all back. I was like, these fucking douchebags in the comments. Sexist as fuck.
Well, I am always just so annoyed by their handling of female superheroes, because for the longest time, they literally just would not, like, the main people of Marvel. I think the guy who did all of the merchandising was like, no one wants a female superhero. So we didn't get one for the longest time. And then finally, I think he was fired or he retired. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to do female superhero movies. And they just all came at the wrong time. Too late. They were all way too late. Nothing could come close to the first Wonder Woman. That was amazing. And yeah. So my number three is The Marvels, which just came out. And it just was not great. It was really bad. It was supposed to be, I guess, funny, but then it fell so flat. I just remember watching it with Alex and Tay and Liam. And there was like a whole dancing sequence because they had to go to a planet that only sang. Like like their form of communication was only singing. Now that was pretty funny and hilarious. But then just everything else was just bad. And the main villain was just tyrannical and no, like, who the fuck?
No depth.
Yeah, no depth. And I don't know. And I love Ms. Marvel. Like, she's so cute. And I mean, I just feel bad for Brie.
All right. My number three on the worst movies list, we already said Captain America. We already kind of went through that. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll jump to number two.
We have the top two are the same.
We are matching. Look at us go. All right, you want to say number two and I'll say number one?
Number two is Thor: Love and Thunder. And this movie isn't like the most terrible. It was just, yeah, the biggest disappointment coming right after Ragnarok.
Yep.
Oh, we were just hoping it was going to save what we had been seeing. I'm now like after Endgame, I think honestly my favorite movie after that was Shang-Chi, and it wasn't like my favorite. So we were just hoping that this was going to save the day because we got Taika Waititi and he's going to be directing it again. And it was just dumb. There was no substance. And we got Natalie Portman back, and then she just dies. And they just killed every single female character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I paused this so many times because it was hurting me. Because it was just so much silliness and it had no grounding to it. So if there's no grounding, then nothing's funny. because everything's trying to be too silly. Like, you need the up and down for the comedy. You need to, like, bring them down so you can bring them back up.
Because, mm-hmm. like, we, if they had brought us down, I think it would have probably done, or at least...
had more substance to it, because we didn't have anything that was, like, serious. And then there was, like, the random seriousness of Natalie Portman having this disease, mm-hmm. but it didn't land well because everything was so silly. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like this is the first... I think a lot of after Endgame has just kind of been, like, they're just... they're like drowning, you know, because we don't really have an end game. Like, what are we building towards? And now, because, you know, we've had all of these movies and origin movies building towards something. And now we're all meant to think, like, okay, this is building towards something. And I feel like at the end,
they should have just taken like a 10-year break after Endgame, honestly.
For sure. And right after, you know, Ragnarok, it sets up, it goes straight into Infinity War.
Yeah,
because we have Thanos, and after Thor Love and Thunder, it's just, okay, he's got a daughter.
I really hated the black and white
on Thor and Love and Thunder. It was kind of cool.
It was bothering me because it had no point or substance. I was like, I don't even want to see this. Put it in color. Get out of here.
It was like that's like the one thing I remember in that movie. And then I don't. Who was the guy who was like the naked guy?
Christian Bale, wasn't he in it?
Well, Christian Bale was in it. Alex, who was like the naked guy that was like throwing? Who was Zeus?
Oh, Zeus was the funniest part for me.
Russell Crowe was Zeus in it. There's a whole deleted scene with Russell Crowe where like where Thor and Russell Crowe get to speak to each other, and it's pretty grounding. And they cut it from the film.
Oof, doof. Yep, sad times for Thor, Love, and Thunder. I didn't even see it in the theater.
I did.
Yeah.
I've seen all of the theater.
All right. Well, our number one, because we want to get to our top five here. Our number one worst Marvel movie, maybe you guessed it, Multiverse of Fucking Madness. Mm-hmm. What the fuck was that? We've already gone into detail about why we're so annoyed by it, but... I mean, just the abridged version is that we had WandaVision, which was a beautiful mental health journey for fucking Wanda. And then they just turned her into a crazy woman after she, quote, lost her kids 5 seconds into this movie. And it erased all of the character development that the writers on WandaVision worked so hard to give us. And we come to learn after the fact that like they were both being written at the same time, which mm-hmm. also just goes to show how much they don't give a fuck about the female characters having continuity, mm-hmm. because you can't give us that beautiful journey and then fucking erase it in half a second.
Yeah, it was,
what the fuck,
so incredibly frustrating, especially after we had Black Widow, which came way too late. We've got the Marvel movie, like Captain Marvel, and then those weren't great. And then we finally have Wanda, and she's our last surviving Avenger. And we get this beautiful love story to her mental health and her love story with Vision. And they just...
they just shredded
demolish it. Her. And then she dies, apparently.
And the end was so fucking all over the place. And it's not even about Doctor Strange. And all the stuff with Doctor Strange was so fucking weird. It was just not good. It was not good.
It was the only part that I liked was the zombie Doctor Strange. You probably don't
remember. That part was happening is, like, are you kidding me right now? Is this fucking real? Like, I hate the multiverse, and I'm sorry, I don't like it. I can't get on board with it. I tried with Loki, and then I still don't like it, though. It goes too quickly. Things don't matter. Like, nothing matters if there's a million versions of it. Mm-hmm. How can it matter?
Well, I think, did you ever finish Loki?
No, I know everyone said the second season was really good, but I was just annoyed by the first season.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like Loki, well, we can talk about it later because that's on my list. Loki's really good, and it does, it makes things matter.
Yeah, well, Multiverse of Madness fucking didn't matter. We met all these fucking new people. I'm cursing a lot because I have so much rage.
Because I love Marvel so much, and I can't believe how downhill it's gone in the last, like, 5 years.
But it's because, well, I mean, do we want to move into upcoming projects?
Oh, well, or do we want to do the best first so we have time to talk about the best?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, basically, is they did way too much after Endgame, and then Bob Iger comes back after Bob Chapek, like, resigned, basically, or was forced to resign. And he's like, Bob Iger's like, we need to slow down on the Marvel movies, and we need to make sure that they're good. Like, fucking finally!
This part of the episode has been full of rage. It's sponsored by the F word.
Okay.
All right.
The best!
Our favorite Marvel movies of all time right now. Okay, our top five. Let's do it. Natasha, wait, this isn't a movie.
What is this?
I'm putting...
You have seven? Well, we're doing top six because we both have six, but Natasha also has seven, and it's not even a movie.
Well, I have two shows in here.
You do?
Yes. Why can't we just call them Marvel properties? Why do they have to be
fine
movies?
Marvel properties.
Thank you. Well, yeah, and that's hard. Well, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because I would have put X-Men or one of the X-Men in this, because I love those. Anyways, all right. So I just talked about Loki. Loki's one of my favorites. Second season was great. First season was amazing. Loved it. Okay. I'll start with number six then.
Okay.
Number six, the first Guardians.
Yeah, it was a tough choice for me for number six.
I'm glad you put that one so I could talk about that one too.
Okay.
I know. I'm glad you put one.
Guardians was, I mean, I distinctly remember watching this because it was on Christine's birthday. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, we're just going to go see this and see if it's good.
Yeah.
And we're like,
my
wow.
First birthday here.
Yeah. Her first birthday in LA. And me, Kat, and Christine watched it. We're like, wow. That was so good. We were just crying, laughing in the theater. Good memories. But I think we were all, when that movie came out, I think we were all just blown away.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, we're like, what the fuck is this? Also, wait, this makes a lot of sense, and it's so fun and goofy, and the soundtrack is amazing.
And Chris Pratt is just perfect for Star-Lord. Chris Pratt, it is so, like, the highlights of his personality get to be in Star-Lord.
Yeah. I know so many people hate Chris Pratt, and, like, I can't hate him. I'm sorry.
I can't hate him either. I think it's because of his religious beliefs.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But, like, I feel like beyond that, he has more to him that I really like.
I think so, too. And I think
he has just good intentions. I think he's, like, a good heart.
Yeah. Yeah. At least as he seems genuine. I think he is. He's just, he seems like a really great guy. And everyone who is around him always says something really great about him. And I just like Chris Pratt, so.
I mean, I also fucking love Parks and Rec, and, like, just knowing those people, like, to be working with together, I feel like they're all really great people.
Yeah. And also, like, Zoe Saldana in it, and this is, like, the first time we got to see Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista's character is so hilarious.
Dude, they're just such a dream team for comedy. I know. They play off of each other so well. And, like, Bradley Cooper as a raccoon.
Rocket.
It's like, that doesn't sound right. Like, he really brings, like, this dark sarcasm. Like, they have every aspect of comedy. Like, they've got Chris Pratt bringing, like, the silly. Zoe Saldana is playing, like, the serious straight man. Yeah. And then, like, Dave Bautista is playing this, like, fucking fish out of water who doesn't understand comedy. Like, and then we have the tree that only says one thing, and Rocket is, like, super sarcastic and smart. Like, we've got every aspect for it to be perfect, and it works so well.
It does. And, I know. This movie is, it's like heartwarming and fun, and it feels like a big hug, and it's like a great film to be reminded of how amazing Marvel is.
So running right off of that, my number six is Guardians 3. I have to rewatch Guardians 3. I've been way holding off on it because I love the first experience I had with it so much.
Yeah, except I had to fast forward through parts or else I'm going to sob.
Yeah, so the experience in the theater was literally like hysterically laughing and then hysterically sobbing. Mm-hmm. It was a roller coaster, the likes of which are very rare, and I was so impressed by it. Mm-hmm. And I love something that can have me sobbing and then hysterically laughing the next page. It was giving like sillier the John Green novel. Like when you read The Fault in Our Stars, that's like why it's so much fun, even though it's such a heavy topic, because you'll laugh on like one page and then cry on the next. And Guardians 3 has that same vibe where like you feel so much, mm-hmm, and in both directions, and that's an art.
That's a beautiful thing to be able to do that in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. Kay says the animal cruelty in Guardians 3 is so sad. It is so tough. It is. That's probably why I haven't rewatched it.
It's a hard story.
It. Yeah.
That's why I haven't rewatched it too. But it also like really drives home so much of why Rocket is the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn so much about what his like journey has been like. And we don't know Rocket like that. That it's been such a great character exploration for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't know what drives him or.
Yeah.
We just kind of accepted him for who he was. And then getting to learn his backstory is just
tragic.
Yeah.
But like also really helps us understand him,
mm-hmm,
in a really beautiful way for like a raccoon.
I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I love Guardians 3. I can't wait to rewatch it. I'm also like, I also have that in my head. I'm like, it's going to be upsetting, but also it's so funny. So.
I know. My favorite is when they're in those suits.
And me too. I can't ever forget that scene in the theater with the buttons when he's like trying to win back
Gamora
and she doesn't remember him at all, and then one of the other ones is like, this is so embarrassing, like we can all hear you.
what's her name, the bug lady?
Oh, the ant lady. Yeah,
who?
I don't know. Ant lady. Mantis.
Oh my gosh, Mantis and Drax together are also,
yeah,
a hilarious
combo.
I
don't even
combo.
Talk about Mantis. She'll just like say things. Oh, that are like really cutting without any reserve. So that's our number six. Definitely watch the Guardians trilogy. I still love number two. It's just not as good as one and three.
Yeah, I think so too. Even though we had. The number two had the I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. It was so heartwarming. The redemption of Yon, what's his name? Something with a Y.
Alex, what's his name?
The guy with
Yondu.
Yondu. The redemption of Yondu was fantastic. And I love the exploration of the family aspect of him and Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the sister story is fucking beautiful in Guardians 2, mm-hmm, with Gamora
and Nebula.
And Nebula. That was so, so good. And I cried a lot of times. I came out of that being like, that was so good. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was like, it wasn't half as good as that first one. I'm like, you have no appreciation for a beautiful arc.
Also, Nebula's arc. She's...
Yes!
She was a villain and she has the redemption arc, which is one of my favorite, yes, things in stories.
Yes. Which they do it really well.
They do it so well with her. And then she just becomes, mm-hmm, like... the leader, basically.
Right? She is such a fucking badass. She becomes this like hard ass, but like she has a heart of gold and it's slowly growing. It's very Manon of the Throne of Glass, mm-hmm, books, if you guys have watched that, where at first you're like, I hate her to the very core, and then you realize that like she just needs some love and kindness to discover how love and kindness works.
Yes. All right, we're still in number six.
All right,
what's
number five?
Number five for me, Black Panther. It is.
I mean, it's great.
It's the only Marvel movie that has won an Oscar, I think.
I didn't even realize it had won an Oscar.
Yep. It was, I think, the only one that's won an Oscar. Ryan Coogler.
Oh, yeah. Ryan was nominated.
Yeah. And I remember, well, we all saw this in theater. It was you, me, and John. We were at the Grove, and it was like a 10 p.m. showing. And it was the most fantastic, I think, theater experience we had had in a while. I think probably since, like, Avengers. And what? You just remember?
I have a memory of us going.
You don't?
I just, like, remember the movie.
I remember us going. And, oh, that was so great to watch it in the theater. But, like, Okaya. Is that how you say her name?
Whose name is this?
From Walking Dead.
Oh, I don't know her name. Michonne in Walking Dead.
Yeah, Michonne from Walking Dead. But Okaya, I love her character. And
me too.
One of my favorite scenes is when they're in that club and they have to fight their way out. And then Shuri is back home and then she's in the car driving.
Yes.
And then they have that really great chase scene outside.
That sequence is excellent.
It's so good.
Yeah, and then of course Michael B. Jordan is so hot in this movie. Yeah. He's so beautiful.
it's just a great film, and
also
an amazing.
It has
origin.
A great villain. Like, he's got a lot of depth, and we understand what's going on and why he thinks this way.
Yeah.
So, and that movie had a lot of moments where you just get like chills.
Yeah.
Like, it was really well done. All right, my number five. It was so hard to just have five.
I agree.
Why we had six.
Avengers
Infinity War, which I think is a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
It is a writing masterpiece in the way that they integrated so many stories and they all feel so full and meaningful. It's a masterwork in ensemble writing, and the pacing is perfect. It just amps up and up and up. It has like a really great kick you in the gut ending. It was hard to place this. Like, I had to kind of think of, because they're so different. This is like a sequel, you know, and then there's starter movies, which obviously aren't going to be as intense, but this one takes so much effort to make it still good because there's so many characters. So
I love what you said, that it's a master in ensemble work, because nowhere in that film did I feel that a character didn't have enough screen time.
Exactly.
Or even if they did get, you know, if I think about Wanda and Vision in Scotland.
Yeah.
And we just got that moment of them, and like, they hadn't even, we hadn't even
they
known
been in anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And then that just
we're
felt,
in it.
Yeah, we're just in it. And then they get saved by Black Widow and Cap.
One of like such a great cinematic moment.
Yeah.
Like, I will never fucking forget the chills I got when you heard the music. And then this is the first time I liked Captain America, and he looked so hot. He looked so good.
That wig was good.
Dude.
Yeah. And then, well, this was the movie that had the best girl team up, because we had Okaya. We had Scarlet.
I always cry during that moment. Always.
Yeah. And then Wanda. And it was so just go good. Oh,
that bitch is like, you're all alone. And then Widow's there and she's like, she's not alone.
Yeah.
And then they all show up and it's so good.
But then we have also the most annoying scene in the entire, I think, series.
In Infinity War?
Yes, is when they finally get Thanos and like Mantis is on top of
it. This had to happen.
It's so frustrating though.
That's also a moment in the theater we'll never forget. Everyone fucking disappearing. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, like, it was just like, who's gonna make it through? Every time someone disappeared, it was like, fuck no. When Spider-Man was disappearing under Iron Man, Jesus Christ, I was just like sobbing. And he says that, like, I don't wanna go thing, that if you're like a Doctor Who fan, it really hit a little nerve there, because David Tennant is like, I don't want to go, and he's changing into the other doctor. That hit for me. I was like, is he referencing Doctor Who? They're on another planet. Like, it's very Doctor Who. That's really sad.
And so good. It's so good. All right, number four.
Give us yours.
WandaVision.
Nice.
The TV show, yeah.
It's very good.
I love WandaVision. I think also, too, when this came out, it was one of the first things on... It was the first Marvel property on Disney Plus after Endgame, during the pandemic. And I remember, like, Disney Plus, like, crashing because people just wanted to watch it.
It was every Wednesday.
Yeah. And I think anytime we had... like a little cameo when we had what's her face come from Thor, or we had Silver what's his face from X-Men.
Oh, Evan Peters.
Evan Peters.
I forgot about him. Yeah,
and he came on as Quicksilver. It was just devastating too, especially when we finally get to the part where we realize that, like, Vision is dead, and it's just all in her mind. But it was so fun because you're like, what the fuck is happening?
WandaVision.
Honestly, spoilers for every single Marvel thing ever.
All right, my number four is Iron Man. I could not have Iron Man on this list. It started it all. It's a perfect film. It's so good. We care so much. The script is amazing. It's just a win-win-win. If you haven't seen it, I just remember in 2008, before all the Marvel movies started, I was like, what the fuck is Iron Man? I've never even heard of this. Mm-hmm. But everyone was talking about how it was so good. And I was, like, lonely in my college dorm. And I was like, what do I watch? And I found a link for Iron Man. And I watched it. And I fell in love with Robert Downey Jr. immediately. I was like, oh. I do love this.
Makes sense, because you were also in love with Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Do you think they have a similar vibe?
I think they definitely have a similar vibe, at least in the facial hair department.
They do. I do love his fucking facial hair. But also the snark complements it so well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing this movie. I remember my dad talking about it. It was 2008. I was in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. We went to see it in the theaters.
What do you mean you were in eighth grade?
Eighth grade is in eighth. Yeah, my grades line up with the year. So 2008, I was in eighth grade.
Okay, I didn't see it till it was out of theaters, I guess. But I was in senior year and also in freshman year of college because I didn't watch it till college.
I think I had seen every movie. I didn't see Thor in the theaters because we were broke. Alex, you saw
Thor. I
didn't
see Thor in theaters either.
And you and I didn't see Captain America in theaters. I remember when we bought it on DVD to watch it. But then basically every movie after that I had seen in theaters, aside from the Marvels. No, I remember my dad talking about Iron Man and being like, we're going to go see this. And then him telling us, like, it's going to set up for other things because he wasn't big into comics, but he was big into, like, researching and movies. And so he knew what was up.
Nice. Did you love it?
I was like, I liked it. It's never been my favorite, but I like, for what it is and for what it started, I do enjoy that film. I think it's a great film, but not my personal favorite. Number three, I feel bad for talking about this since you have it up higher.
Okay, do we want to wait to talk about this?
Okay, we'll just skip my number three. Talk about your number three, because that's my number
two. My number three, yeah, okay. So my number three is Thor Ragnarok.
Oh yeah, Thor Ragnarok.
So fucking good.
Well, especially coming out after Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
Which I didn't mind it because I was just in love with Chris Hemsworth.
I didn't mind it either. Yeah. Because it was funny.
It was funny. And...
Because Kat Dennings, is that her name?
That's her name, yes.
She's so funny. She brought, like, a really great back and forth to the vibe between Thor and Natalie Portman.
Well, also Loki in that... He's so funny and quippy. Like,
Yeah. We have Loki in there.
Especially, I think Thor the Dark World came out after Avengers. Yeah. So he was in, like, trouble. So with Thor, because he was bad. And then he kind of had his little redemption arc. And
he was bad again. Yeah, we thought he died. We had like a lot of like nice brother moments, I feel like, with their like confusing sibling relationship, which I love. So Thor Ragnarok had the perfect balance of meaningful conversations and relationships and arcs and hilarity. It just was, the brother dynamics were perfect. The Thor seeing the Hulk and being like, oh, that's my colleague from work. And Loki like watching from above, like being so annoyed. Like Loki is grumpy sunshine with Thor, and it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then seeing their brother relationship come through in moments where they have to fight and they're like, let's play this.
let's do get help.
Like, we're not doing get help. Like, that's just such an iconic scene. And then the sexual tension with the Valkyrie was so great. Mm-hmm. Everything was just so good.
I know. Yeah. My favorite scene in that is still the snake scene. He is like, and then Loki did this, and then this, and then he got a snake, and then bit me, and it was like, ah. Oh, and then he stabbed me.
Just the way he told the story, and like, it was just like, what is happening right now?
Just comedy gold.
I just love the part when he first gets to this planet and they move him through this like Willy Wonka. Oh, the Willy Wonka roller coaster. That was so funny too.
There's just so many great moments in that movie.
Oh, yeah, and Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, Grok, what's his name? The guy that Taika Waititi plays is so funny. The Rock guy.
Krog? No.
I don't remember, but there's some really great characters and side characters, and it's so fun. If you haven't seen this movie, what are you doing?
Even like the opening scene where he's dangling from a rope.
Oh my God, it's perfect. He's like stuck in a cage dangling, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
and then he keeps turning. He's like, wait.
I just remember dying in the theater every time he turned. It just set the tone so perfectly. It was a great opening scene.
Yeah. Well, then they cut his hair too.
Oh my God. And the part where he's like, they're falling. Like Loki is just falling for 30 minutes.
Wait, is that in this one?
Yeah, is that the beginning?
I've been falling for 30 minutes.
So funny. It was so good.
Wait, I forgot that Kate Blanchett was in this one.
Remembering now.
There's so many things that happened in this movie.
Yes, I know. It's so good.
Kate Blanchett's so good in it, too. And also, what's his face from The Boys? What's his name, Alex?
Yeah, that guy.
Carl Urban.
Yeah, he plays the guy at the thing that turns on the teleporter machine.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is our number. That's Natasha's number two. It's my number three. I can't believe this isn't on your list at all.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
No, it makes me sad.
But it's so good.
It's really good, but it makes me sad, so I can't put it up.
Oh my God. I think it's just perfection. So it's my number two.
I don't think I've watched it since we were in theaters.
Oh my God. I've watched it like three times since then. It's so good.
Maybe once. Honestly, our theater experience was the best thing ever. That was one of the best premieres we ever went to. And when we all three of us, Alex, you and I got to watch it together.
Yeah.
It was magic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the whole theater was magic. It was such a beautiful night. It's in my notebook, my best days ever notebook.
Oh,
it was the best day ever.
Spider-Man No Way Home. Did you say that? Because I think I interrupted you. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's my number two. And then you want to do your number one first?
My number one is Winter Soldier. It will always be my number one. It is my favorite movie. I rewatch this movie all the freaking time. I'm sorry. Captain America and Black Widow, best chemistry. Just because like Chris Evans and ScarJo have been friends forever. They've already played romantic leads before. The whole scene with Sam Jackson
what's his name? Fury in the car with Winter Soldier, who's like come with Bucky, who's coming after him. It's so good. And then when they're on the freeway, and then we get introed into Sam. Is that his name? Sam Wilson?
I don't even remember him.
Is that his name, Alex? Yes.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about Falcon?
I'm talking about the Falcon. Yeah, the overpass scene, and then where they have to like jump out of the car, and then they slide, and then the cool music, like the for the Winter Soldier. I love this movie. This is my favorite movie. It's just a good like political spy thriller. Like, we've got a great villain who like we had set up for the first Avenger, and it's
the red face guy.
No. I'm talking about Bucky.
Oh, Bucky.
Yeah. And we're like, wait, no, not Bucky. And we're like, what happened to you all this time? Oh, I just love Bucky's character. And like, I love his role too in Civil War. Like, Civil War is also one of my...
Civil War.
Civil War. I also love that one as well.
It's not on your list.
I know. Well, I've put two Captain Americas. I can't talk about all of them.
Winter Soldier didn't make it anywhere near my list because I just don't love that movie, but I see why you love it, and I know why other people love it. I just don't feel it.
That's the movie that started that's one of the movies that started like the fan fiction for me. Like, I was reading like Black Widow and Cap, or Black Widow and Bucky fan fiction.
Nice. So my number one was Natasha's number three. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't not put this at number one because I love it so much. And I feel like it's so heartwarming. And every time I watch it, I'm just like, they nailed this. And that's the Avengers movie.
Oh, yeah.
The first Avengers. Like, there never been anything like this. Mm-hmm. There's never been anything where it was like there was movies for all the individual characters. And then we have a gathering of them all. Like, just like Avengers Infinity War was like a masterwork in ensemble. This was the first time there was an ensemble like that. Mm-hmm. And like Avengers Infinity War was just like hiked up to like the millionth degree. But we really got such a great sense of who all these characters were beforehand. Mm-hmm. So then seeing them together was so much fun because mm-hmm. we knew them as individuals. And it was like, how are they going to interact? Like, I'll never forget seeing that scene with Iron Man and Thor. And he's like, doth thou know his mother? Knowest you were her drapes? Like, and like the back and forth between them was so good with all of them. Like then with Captain America and the like the watch your language.
I know that reference.
Like all of that was beautiful. And like all the stuff with the Hulk and with Bruce talking to Iron Man. And like this, just these really great interactions. And the opening scene is great with the Tesseract and the Avengers place kind of breaking apart. Mm-hmm. It was just all so good.
And my favorite line, clench up Legolas with Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye is awesome in this movie. Mm-hmm. The scene, I always get like so tense with the scene when the big, is it a spaceship? I don't know what to call it. When it's going down and Iron Man has to fix the rudder. And I think, is Hawkeye out there with him? Like someone who doesn't have powers is out there. It's Captain America that's out there with him.
Yeah.
And it's just
Hawkeye
like the stakes
is with Black Widow.
Oh, and the Hulk in the fucking glass tank. Yeah. And they let him. Oh, my God. There's just so much. It's just like one thing after another. So much happens. And it's all so intense. And all of the banter between them is so beautiful. The camaraderie that grows.
Do you remember seeing that one in theaters?
I do. I saw it in my senior year of college with Katie. And we watched Thor. We had never seen Thor in the theater, so we had to get a link. And it was so quiet. You know how some of those links, like the sound was so quiet? And Katie and I was watching it together, like trying to hear. Just like, what are they saying? There's so much lore in that movie that we were like so stressed. We kept rewinding. But then we had the best time seeing the Avengers. And then I went home because it was at the end of the year and I watched it with my dad and Paul. And I was so excited to watch it with Paul because I knew he was going to love it. It was great.
Yeah, that was our senior year because it was 2012.
Yeah, it was my senior year too.
And college. I remember, I think, yeah, Alex and a couple of our friends, our friend Dakota had just had brain surgery.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know if you know that about Dakota. He had his brain was growing out of, like, it was too big for his skull.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's got a big scar back there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was
very traumatic.
It was very traumatic. It was a lot.
I'm glad he's okay.
But I remember he couldn't come because obviously he was like, he had been a month out, but he couldn't leave the house. And I remember we had to drop something off at, I think I dropped like food off or cookies or something. And he's like, oh, I wish I was going. I'm like, we'll watch it soon with you. That was an amazing, because we watched it at our neighborhood or like our home theater. So the theater was filled with like all of our friends and people that we knew. Yeah. And it was just, oh, it was huge.
It was electric in that theater. Mm-hmm. Everyone was excited for this. And I didn't even understand it. I was like, who are the Avengers? Because we never heard about them. We only learned, like, the Justice League was the only thing in the zeitgeist growing up. Like, unless you were a comic book person, you didn't know the Avengers.
No. I knew Captain America. That was about it.
I didn't even think I knew Thor. Captain America. I knew Batman and, like, the Wonder Twins and Wonder Woman and, like, all of those people because they were in cartoons on Cartoon Network.
Yes, yeah. I knew the X-Men.
And Superman.
And we knew all the DC characters.
Yeah. And the Fantastic Four, I think, had a cartoon because I knew about them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of these characters had cartoons that were like prevalent.
Well, the Hulk had been.
Well, the Hulk had a show. That's why I know about the Hulk.
Well, he also had movies before MCU.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did see that first movie.
And we had seen everyone in theaters. I think the first. He had three.
I didn't see the second one with Edward Norton.
I saw that one.
That technically started the MCU. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't like the Hulk, but I came back around in the Avengers and then I came back out of it when he became a Hulk man.
Yes. All right. Shall we move quickly into what's coming from Marvel?
Tell us what's coming. We have 6 minutes. Let's do it.
I'm trying to make this quick. All right. So first of all, we've got Deadpool and Wolverine, which is currently out. Very excited. I think hopefully this is going to be a great win for Marvel.
I'm so excited. I hope it is. I can't. I believe in Ryan.
Yeah. And I love Hugh Jackman. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
For that.
He's great.
Yes. As Lee says, we need a win. We really do need a win. So like I said, Marvel is pulling back because obviously they've had a lot of fails, which is great. I'm glad that they are taking time. And also the strike fucked a lot of things up. Again, sorry for the cursing. So everything got moved around and pushed. Next, what's coming is Agatha All Along, which I am incredibly excited for.
I hope it's good.
I hope it's good, too. It's coming out September 19th, y'all. There's only been one trailer for it, but it will pick up with Agatha trapped in some sort of spell, living as a homicide detective. I'm not really going to go into more because Christine's going to be like, spoilers! But Aubrey Plaza is also in this.
Oh, okay. I'm going to watch it.
Yes. Yes. So then.
I love an Aubrey Plaza.
Yes. She has to embark on a legendary witch's road, which is a magical gauntlet of trials.
She can have a redemption arc?
I have no idea. Possibly. Hmm. So then.
Agatha All Along.
I hope we get some great music because that song is incredible. Okay, so next we have Captain America, Brave New World. This is with Anthony Mackie. This one's coming out on Valentine's Day next year.
They just announced that, right? I feel like I saw something for it.
Yes. I think it got moved up. But he returns as the high-flying hero, Sam Wilson, who's officially taken up the mantle of Captain America. After meeting with newly elected U.S. President Thaddeus Ross, Sam finds himself in the middle of an international incident. He must discover the reason behind a nefarious global plot before the true mastermind has the entire world seeing red. Also, Harrison Ford is in it, and so is Liv Tyler. And Liv Tyler was in the Hulk movie that we just talked about, the first one.
Huh.
The entire world seeing red. Are we bringing back that red guy with the red face?
The red skull.
From the planet.
Yeah. I don't know. But Harrison Ford is replacing the dearly departed William Hurt. So he is replacing William Hurt as Thaddeus Ross. Captain Ross, something like that. Okay. So that's who Harrison Ford is. Okay. Then next, we've got Daredevil Born Again series. This is slated for March 2025. Might change. If we talked about this in a couple episodes in 2023.
Yeah. But it's going to be different, but it's going to be the same cast.
Yeah. They fired the previous writers, the whole team, brought on new writers after the strike, and then they brought back the whole original cast. And there's going to be 18 episodes.
Wow, that's a lot of episodes.
Huge. Yeah.
Huge.
Next, we have the Ironheart series. So if you saw Black Panther Wakanda Forever, you saw this character debut. She is basically a robotics genius who builds a suit of armor more advanced than anything Tony Stark has devised in his lifetime.
Wow.
Yep. And then we have the Thunderbolts movie. And this one has everyone's very excited for this because we are following a lot of the characters.
The youth characters?
The youth characters, kind of. So it's like a Suicide Squad type of situation. So we have Contessa Valentina, who is starting the team. She is from the Falcon and Winter Soldier show. We have the Red Guardian, which is David Harbour. He's going to be in. He's from, Stranger Things, and he's from Black Widow. Yeah. Yelena Belova, obviously played by Florence Pugh. Bucky Barnes, yeah. Sebastian Stan.
Really Suicide Squad.
Yeah, well, they're not like, you know,
they're not heroes,
but they're also not heroes.
They're like anti-heroes.
And then we have U.S. Agent Wyatt Russell. That's Kurt Russell's son, who was in Falcon Winter Soldier. We have Taskmaster from Black Widow, Olga Kurylenko. Harrison Ford will also be in it as Ross. Also, we were going to have Ed Edebiri, who's from The Bear.
Oh, from The Bear, yeah.
She was going to be in, so was Steven Yeun. But then they got...
Steven Yeun?
But they...
Steven Yeun?
They're not going to be in it anymore.
Why?
Invincible creator Robert Kirkman later claimed Yeun is playing Sentry, a Marvel equivalent to Superman. This later became moot as Yeun left the production in January 2024, citing scheduling conflicts. Edebiri also exited the film shortly thereafter, and then Lewis Pullman is replacing him, and then Geraldine Viswanathan is replacing AO, and she's from, do you know who that is? She's from that Lonely Hearts Club movie that I love.
Oh, I never saw that. Yeah.
So after the Thunderbolts movie, which is out in May 2nd of 2025, we have Phase 6. So Phase 6 starts the Fantastic Four.
Christ.
And this is out next July, so a year from now. The film will be set in alternate 1960s. And a lot of people are thinking that people have forgotten about the Fantastic Four and then maybe they'll bring him in the future stuff. So you know who's directing this is John Watts, who directed Far From Home. So he was going to be directing it. Sorry. Now the WandaVision director, Matt Shakman, is now directing it. Pedro Pascal is playing Reed Richards. Vanessa Kirby is playing Invisible Woman. Joseph Quinn is playing the fire guy.
Oh yeah. Flame.
Flame Torch.
Guy. Torch. The Human Torch.
The Human yeah. Torch. And then Ebon Moss Bachrock is playing the Thing. Also Natasha Lyonne and Julia Garner. Julia Garner is going to play the Silver Surfer.
Who's Natasha Lyonne playing?
I don't know yet.
Interesting.
Okay. Then next, this one's a mess. So this is supposed to be slated for November 7th, but there really hasn't been much going on since the strike. This is Blade.
Blade has been set up since the Eternals. One? It's the vampire one. Yeah, this one's kind of been a mess since the strike. They lost their entire crew and they released their supporting cast from contracts, but Mahershala Ali is still playing Blade and Mia Goth is also still connected to the project. The release date is most likely going to change. And then we have Avengers Kang Dynasty.
What the fuck is Avengers Kang Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars?
Yeah, this was all announced, I think, at Comic-Con or D23 2 years ago.
But, like, what Avenging? Who
so
is it?
Kang is Avengers. From Loki, and he was also in Quantumania, which is, are things you haven't seen yet.
But, no, I mean, like, we're kind of out. Aren't the best Avengers gone?
Yeah, this is, I don't know, okay? This is, I don't know. This is what they have down slated, and it doesn't make any sense to me either.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to happen, or maybe it will, because the main guy, the actor, was accused of domestic abuse.
Yeah. Abuse, yeah.
And so he got kicked out of these movies. So either they recast him or they redo the whole fucking thing again. So I don't know. I think they'll just recast. Yeah. But if you've seen Loki and you've seen Quantumania, then you know King. This is supposed to be slated for May 1st, 2026, and then we would get Avengers Secret Wars the next year, May 7th, 2027. Secret Wars is really like the multiverse coming to its head, and it's like Captain America in different, and Iron Man in different worlds, and either they're a villain or they're good, and you never know who it is.
I don't like it. It's like when there's too much Polyjuice potion. Just stop.
Okay. And then after that, in between that, we have Vision Quest, which is a Vision's Disney Plus series. And this is actually in works. It's slated for 2026. And it's going to be between like the new White Vision and him remembering his old life. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. These next titles.
Oh, my God. There's so fucking many.
These next titles have no release dates. So I think a lot of things are going to change, by the way, after D23. So we have Armor Wars. I didn't look too much into this. Okay. We have Shang-Chi 2. We have Spider-Man 4. They have announced X-Men movies. Multiple. Who knows? We don't know anything about it. There's a Ryan Coogler's Wakanda series that they talked about, an Okaya series. Scarlett Johansson is doing a top secret production. It's not for Black Widow, but she is producing a Marvel something, a movie. A lot of people thinking that it's A-Force, which is a female team-up movie. There's a show called Nova. Don't know what that's about. I think it's connected to Moon Knight. And then we have Moon Knight Season 2, which I think has been filming. Because I remember the main actor talking about it while he was filming. What's his name?
The guy from Star Wars.
Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. All right, we're going to do a Marvel-themed one.
All right.
Who are you going to marry? Wanda.
Okay.
Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Or Thor. Mary Kiss Cliff.
Obviously, I'm marrying Iron Man. I am kissing Thor, and I am cliffing Wanda. I'm sorry, girl.
Well, she can fly. She's okay.
She can. She'll be fine. What about you?
I'm going to marry Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kiss Wanda. I'm going to cliff Iron Man. I'm sorry.
It's okay. He can also fly.
If he's in his suit.
He's got a built-in suit.
Oh, that's true.
They're all going to be fine. They can all fly. That's going to be our show today, folks. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about in tea time. So if you're a patron, that's coming up. We got lots of stories to share, and that is we put out videos every, we put out episodes every Friday. Our show is edited by Christine Riccio, Natasha Polis, Alex Polis, and Ricky McBrayer. The music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. Our socials are done by Chloe Laverson. Please make sure you're following us on Instagram. We got lots of fun stuff that we post over there. Mm-hmm. Chloe does a really great job. We're also on TikTok if you want to follow us over there. We release episodes every Friday. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for being here, folks.
Bye.
Bye.